You're listening to Farmer's Kitchen on Dubai Eye 103.8.
With Spinneys. Eat well, live well.
I'm Helen Farmer. Welcome to Farmer's Kitchen. It is your slice of foodie chat every single week. We were having chats about all sorts of aspects, from starting restaurants with Diane from She. We were going to Korea via Dubai with Chef Moon from Matico, making us very, very hungry indeed. Z Blogs, spilling the beans on the bargain eats and the viral finds, taking a trip to a polo club and resort. And it was Ava of Frying Pan Adventures who was on hand as we talked about some of the hidden gems and trying to find the foodie soul of the city, plus brand extension of the Salmontini team as we broadcasted live from Riverland.
This is Farmer's Kitchen on Dubai Eye 103.8.
With Spinneys. Eat well, live well.
We love introducing you to the industry insiders. We're going to be meeting Chef Moon after 2:30 today. We're also going to be catching up with some of our favourite foodies. But now, it's a restaurateur. We have got Diana Rizbova. She is from She Restaurants. She's the founder. She's the CEO. And it is three brands that she is now heading up. From her first restaurant, She on Blue Waters Island, to two further spaces within 2 years. She's incredibly passionate in the F&B space, and she's here at Riverland. How are you, Diana?
Hi, dear. Hi, Ellen.
It's so lovely to have you with us. And I always think it's really interesting to hear the beginning of the story, because you're here and we can talk about you being a successful entrepreneur in this space. But everyone has their beginning. So I wondered if you could take us back in time and we can meet young Diana. Can you tell us about what you wanted to do when you were growing up? What were school days like, and even your first job?
All right. So... So since I was always interested in business and was discovering myself and finding my true passion from my childhood, I was really interested, you know, for the F&B business. So yeah, I was born in Germany, and then we moved with my family to Central Asia. And again, you know, I started when I was 20. Yes.
You started in business when you were 20.
Exactly. So it was a bit early.
But it was
successful.
But sometimes it depends on who is around you. Some people have a natural entrepreneurial spirit. Some people learn from entrepreneurs around them. Did you always want to work for yourself and do
exactly.
your own thing?
So from my childhood, I was really dreaming, you know, to be entrepreneur, businesswoman. So my role model was my dad. You know, he always showed me, you know, his passion and how to do things right, you know. So I moved to Dubai 4 years ago, and one day, you know,
I'm going to interrupt you. 4 years ago.
4 years
was
ago.
COVID times.
Exactly. So after pandemic, I decided, okay, probably it's time to start, you know, the new
chapter.
Exactly.
Why Dubai? What attracted you as an entrepreneur to being in this city? Was it a food thing? Was it a business thing?
What opportunities? I can tell you, you know, Dubai for me, it was my second home. And the way how they develop, you know, still developing the country, how we can feel here secure not only for the entrepreneurs and businessmen, also for the families mm-hmm. with the kids. Yeah. So it was actually my dream place to live, you know. And I'm really, really happy that I decided to move.
We're going to talk about the three brands that you have as part of the She Group. But I want to talk about food growing up. Who was cooking in your family? What did you love to eat as a child?
All right. So, of course, my mom, she looked after the, you know.
You say, of course, my husband's a better cook than me. So if my kids get asked this in 20 years' time, they'll be like, well, mum's food was awful, but dad was a great cook. What was your mum cooking?
She cooked, you know, like everything, some Korean food as well, some like... international food. And I can tell you, like, when I was 13, I believe I started to cook by myself as well. So I was really passionate, you know, about the food. So I can tell you, I'm like very big foodie.
Do you cook at home now yourself for your family?
Unfortunately,
you do.
I don't have time.
You've got three restaurants to go to. Don't worry about
exactly.
it. We've got Diana's with us today. She is the founder and CEO of She Restaurants. Moved here, as we said, during COVID times. We're talking next about who inspires her, just hearing about the dad. But what about in the foodie space? And yes, we're going to be making you hungry. What should you be eating over the weekend across her three restaurants? We're going to be talking about some signature dishes as well, and loving your recommendations coming in on 4001.
You're listening to Farmer's Kitchen on Dubai Eye 103.8.
With Spinneys. Eat well, live well.
Joining us to talk food, glorious food, and I guess lift the lid a little bit about what it takes to start and expand a successful restaurant empire. Diana Rizbaeva is with us today. She's the brains behind She Restaurants, including the OG She of Blue Waters, and now a two further brands. Despite being a first-time entrepreneur, she had obstacles to open three fabulous eateries that are already firm favourites. Can I ask you about your first baby, your first restaurant baby, She? Why did you choose Blue Waters to open up? It's a beautiful Pan Asian. Why there?
All right, so I believe it's not secret. So Blue Waters, it's the new destination in Dubai, and it's absolutely beautiful, including this Dubai Eye.
The view.
The view, you know, it's absolutely gorgeous. And yeah, so I was lucky that time. So I took this venue, and then we created the beautiful restaurant.
It's right on the front as well. You know, you have got the
exactly.
The
so view. We are really lucky. We have this amazing GBR view, Marina view. Yeah, so our guests, they can see it, especially now, you know, since the weather is so beautiful now, so people can sit outside and they can enjoy and they can have the full experience.
It's not just about where you are, it's about what's on the plate. What are some of the most successful and popular dishes at She?
Since it's Pan-Asian restaurant and it's like 60% Chinese and 40% Japanese, of course, like the bestseller, the dish, it's Peking duck. Yeah, so Peking duck, yeah. It's like, you know, bestseller, so everyone coming especially to have Peking duck.
You've also, as I said, gone on to expand two further brands, one which is 100% Chinese. Tell us about that.
Okay, so the second baby was Jixiang. It's a little bit tricky to pronounce.
Jixiang.
And it's fast food, it's dim sum noodles. So first location we have in GBR, exactly on the beach, so you can, you know, you can enjoy food and also enjoy the view on the beach. And the second one we open in Al Hawanish last exit, so we have beautiful Chinese track. This is the dim sum concept. Yeah,
so that's interesting. So you've gone from like high fine concept to this kind of more accessible
fast food,
price.
Yeah. But fast food again, it's like, you know, like luxurious,
well.
Premium. Yeah. So the packing, you know, it's and the way how we decided to present the brand. So it's really, and the quality, of course, the quality.
And then what has really started, I would say, in the last kind of 3 to 6 months, one of Dubai's hottest foodie areas, Dubai Hills. We've seen some incredible openings there from local brands, actually quite a lot of kind of homegrown concepts and licensed as well, the likes of Pitfire. I went there for a beautiful kind of Indian tapas meal the other night. And you have Molly.
So yeah, we recently opened Molly. It was end of November. And for me, it's so beautiful location to compare. Blue Waters is absolutely different. Yeah. But we have a lot of people who is living there, residential people. And how you mentioned, it's licensed. Yeah. So, you know,
it just feels like location wise. I have friends who, you know, like, I'm near the beach and, you know, she's at Mudong. We're like, well, let's just meet in the middle.
It's,
you
absolutely
know, everyone can just come together.
It's absolutely different, you know, it's absolutely different, especially, you know, to the people who is living in Dubai, yeah, for the residential.
Great spot.
And yeah, great spot. And it's pure Chinese restaurant called Molly by She. So Molly, it's white jasmine in Chinese language.
Oh, wow.
And we were like, at that time, we worked with amazing design companies. So, you know, I can represent all of my dreams, you know, we can just
And what about the food? Because I feel like sometimes I get a little bit stuck in my habits. I'm like, okay, I recognize that dish, so I'm going to order that. And I often don't kind of experiment, especially with cuisines that I'm not familiar with. Can you give us some of your favorite dishes on the Molly kind of restaurant?
In Molly, yeah.
What are your faves?
Like, Molly is pure Chinese restaurant, and we have absolutely amazing menu of dim sum dumplings, and it's amazing.
So again, all of them?
Yeah. All of them. And you wouldn't believe, it was last summer. So that time, chef pushed me to try 120 dishes.
120?
Yes. It's like 4 days. 4 days, you wouldn't believe it. It was like... So wow. Weird.
What a job.
It's job, yeah.
But,
yeah.
I mean, I was going to ask you about challenges. That's not a challenge. That sounds like fun. But, you know, within 4 years, 3 restaurants. I mean, that's incredible, especially in such a competitive city like Dubai, where we see restaurants opening and sadly closing an awful lot. What have you learned from the last few years? And what do you think other entrepreneurs in the F&B space need to be aware of?
This is, yeah, thank you so much for the question. Actually, it's my favorite question. So I can tell you the secret behind is just to grow organically. Yeah. And this is the number one. Then number two is obviously location. Number mm-hmm. three is service. If you are keeping, you know, like this, all things consistency, yeah, so you can win, honestly. Yeah.
What about plans for the future? I can tell by the look in your eye. You're not resting for a second, Diana. If we had this conversation another 4 years, what do you think is going to be happening?
It will be massive. You will see. So we are planning to open some of the new concepts here in Dubai, and also we are planning to expand in GCC countries, because for me, so far, I believe it's like the best market. Mm-hmm. So I'm really happy that my team, me as well, we are working here.
Here's the most difficult question. If we're going to come to any of your 3 restaurants this weekend, what is your number one current favorite dish that you feel like, oh, you haven't eaten in Dubai until you've had what dish?
All right, so it will be jasmine tea ribs. Okay, so in Jixiang, it will be dynamic shrimps.
Yum.
And in Moli, it will be peking duck.
Oh, right.
Helen, you need to come.
We're all hungry. We're all Loya, craving please. Food. Thank you so, so much for your
Thank
time
you,
today.
Ladies. It
it's
was
been
lovely.
An absolute pleasure to meet you.
This is Farmer's Kitchen on Dubai Eye 103.8.
With Spinneys. Eat well, live well.
One of the chicest chefs in town joining us. He is the man in black, apart from some very interesting socks. Chef Moon is with us today, the culinary director at Atiko at the W Dubai Mina Siahi. Tell me about your socks, sir. What are you wearing on your feet?
Because I love is the food ingredient.
Mm-hmm.
So every day is changed to the ingredient. So one day sushi, one day avocado, one day banana. Today is a banana day.
He's got banana socks on. Now, you're lucky I like you, because I actually have a near phobia of bananas. I cannot stand them. However, sock form is very different to the real ingredient. I love that you've got your Birks on and your banana socks. You do take things a bit more seriously in the kitchen, Chef Moon. How are you today?
Yeah, it's a very special feeling, because this is always I walk in the kitchen, but today is refreshed,
you're seeing sunshine.
Nice sunshine. Yeah, I can't believe he's here.
So my brother-in-law works in the UK, and I've never seen such a pale man. And when he came to Dubai, it was like he'd never seen sunshine before. He was like one of those little blind moles that kind of comes up from the soil and looks around and is like, oh, this is where the people are and there's sunshine. Because you guys, you know, everything's back to front.
Yeah, that's why my chef's life is, this is impossible to be seen the sunshine.
I love it. We're bringing you out into the real world at Riverland. Back in the kitchen, and yeah, we're going to talk about signature dishes and food. But let's go back. You're Korean. I mean, talk about having a moment over the last few years. I think the world has fallen in love with the culture, with the food. What was food like for you growing up? Who was cooking?
So I'm from South Korea, but I'm working in several, like Singapore, Australia, in Japan, it's Dubai. So I grow is already is multicultural, this kind of cuisine. So that's why we understand it.
We love it.
Yeah.
So what about you though? When did you decide that you wanted to become a chef?
When I was in high school.
Really?
So 18 years old. So of course, it's my teenagers. I thinking of my second option is chefs, but my mother is very good cooking. So I growing with this kind of see. Wow, one day I think, wow, I will go back to in the kitchen.
It's interesting because I feel like the idea of being a chef has changed a lot in the last 20 years. It's now seen as a bit of a rock star job,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And that wasn't always the case. A lot of people faced, you know, worry or criticism about telling their family that this was something they wanted to do. How did your family respond to you saying, I want to be in the kitchen?
Yeah, but it's the first time, it's my generation time, it's my mother is say, why you go back to kitchen?
Mm-hmm.
It's such an amazing job, other job. It's, you go to kitchen, this is no good. And then after 5 years, my mother say, "Oh, my son is correct."
Oh, I'm so, so proud.
I can see your face is always smiley, happy to kitchen. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this is I'm now is almost 25 years in the kitchen.
Yeah, all made sense in the end.
Yeah.
Can I come back to Korean cuisine? And we are going to talk about what you know what you're serving up across the restaurants as well. But what is it, do you think, that people have really connected with when it comes to Korean food? Is it flavor profile? Is it techniques? Is it that cultural piece that's come together at the right time as well? What's the secret sauce?
Yeah, because it's, Korea is, to be honest, is not yet open yet properly. Mm. Because it's many Japanese cuisine, this kind of very published, but Korean restaurant is still, we need to develop education people. But however, is we have a lot of the spicy and the flavor, like especially in the kimchi, this is we soaking, and then this is a very fresh, also vegetarian dish. So this is a very healthy food.
I think the kimchi thing is an interesting point. Yep. Because whenever we have doctors in the studio, especially talking about mind-gut connection, fermented food is always coming up. And kimchi's like the original, you know? You guys have been doing it for centuries.
Without kimchi, my life is no life.
Oh, there's no kimchi in your kitchen. What about making it at home? A lot of people got into pickling and fermenting during lockdown.
Of course, it's
everybody, easy. How can you do it? Can you tell us how?
For me, it's Dubai also is very nice in the ingredient. So it's nice in the cabbage you buy. It's you making your home cooking style and the different. Because this is very fun thing is kimchi is one of the dish, but each family, each origin is a different flavor, different ingredient.
So you could go to your next door neighbor and their kimchi would be different to yours?
Sure, yeah. Spice is different and the flavor is different. Basically, we call it the kimchi, but its flavor size is totally different.
Can you tell me how to make the best one?
Yeah, maybe next few later is to see me and then I will teach you. Because we have something planning to do. Secret.
Chef Moon's cooking up something. So I'm going to see if I can get that out of him in just a few minutes.
You're listening to Farmer's Kitchen on Dubai Eye 103.8.
With Spinneys. Eat well, live well.
Now that we've got one of the hottest chefs in town, Chef Moon is a culinary director at Attico at the W, the Dubai Mina Siyahi. He's got decades of experience. Your job for the next 10 minutes, sir, is just to make us hungry. So Attico is now in Bali. You're going into Europe. It's clearly really popular in Dubai as well. For anyone that hasn't been, how do you describe the cuisine?
So, first thing, the Attico is meaning is top.
It means
so,
top?
Yeah, so it's always we're looking for is like rooftop. It's nice in the fresh air, nice music, it's nice food. So you can see in the Bali also is one of the, in
that
the
would
top
work.
Is
yeah.
Nice in the beach view, it's nice in the free fresh air, it's nice music. So same like Dubai also, but next destination is for we are Portugal is Lisbon and the more extent of the brand in the world.
So how do you then adapt? How do you describe the menu in Dubai? And then do you adapt it for the different international locations?
So actually it's more easy to understand. It's Attico, it's Sushi Samba, it's brother. It's a younger brother.
I like that.
However, it's Attico is a different character. It's like more Pan Asian and the Japanese technique. Mm-hmm. So you can do in the its flavor of the Thai cuisine, Vietnamese cuisine. So you can see in the one of the signature dish in the Thai carpaccio. I think it's no one do this kind
Thai
of thing.
Thai carpaccio.
So nice in the Thai basil and then put in the nice Thai fish sauce like this, salty, sour, and then last touch of the lime and the pomelo.
That sounds delicious. Now, a lot of people go out, yes, to eat, but also to be seen in certain places and take pictures of themselves and their food. How much do you think about how your dish is going to photograph? Because the W is a bit of an Instagram hotspot. Are you thinking about the photos as well as the taste?
Sure, yeah. Of course, this is one of the in the high spot in the poor. I saw it's not only food, many couple coming to like, do you marry me? Like a
propose
area.
There.
With the nice sunset, you know, Dubai, the sunset is beautiful.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So you're thinking with your eyes and then with the...
Yeah, of course, of course.
So in that case, do you get people coming in just holding up their phones and saying, I don't need to look at the menu, I want to eat this?
Yeah, some people like this.
Like
because
what kind of dishes? What's been really popular?
So most popular is for Chilean sea bass, because this is miso marinated in the Chilean sea bass, but it's like outside. So sweetness and the smoky flavor and the with the beetroot sauce.
That
like
sounds this. Amazing. Chloe, you went last week. What were some of your favorite dishes of the night?
Tempura green beans.
Oh, so they're healthy, despite being temperate.
I barely got any because my boyfriend, who didn't propose, which is now I'm upset about.
Oh, gosh.
I wish you had given that idea.
Maybe at the pyramids, babe. Could happen this weekend.
No, he's already told me. He told me not to get my hopes up.
Ah, I like that expectations have been managed before you get on the plane. So tempura green beans.
Yeah. Everything was delicious. We ate so much.
Oh, I think I need to come and try this. Yeah, what about desserts? Do you have a sweet tooth? Hang on, Chloe, did you have a dessert?
Well, I've got my egg allergy.
Oh, yeah, so. She's no fun. To the rest of us, what are some of the favorite desserts?
What we have is nice in the Yuzu cheesecake.
Yuzu cheesecake.
So it is nice in the Atiko is a chocolate. So like a yellow and the square, it's like this clean, and then it's like inside in the Yuzu flavor.
Oh, that sounds...
And the creamy of the cheese.
Oh, that sounds delicious. How do you find it then with you having to keep the standards of the restaurant high and then you're going into other domains? How does it work with recruiting and consistency and you visiting these restaurants as well, Chef?
So basically we try to do is consistency is more priority. So that's why we try to the ingredient in the same way, cooking process the same way. However, we are... Where you are depend of the where you open. So we respect in the maybe 30% in the local product, and then we using in the bonus.
Interesting how things will kind of develop. You know, in terms of the sourcing and what different diners in different parts of the world respond to as well. Thank you so much. Now there is something we're not allowed to talk about, but when you can talk about it, will you come back? Yes.
Yes, yes, okay.
Such a tease. Chef Moon from Atiko there at the W Dubai Mina Siyahi. Off he goes, back the kitchen in his banana socks. Absolute superstar. Thank you so, so much, Chef.
Thank you so much.
It is Farmer's Kitchen with me, Helen Farmer. Hope you're having an absolutely lovely, lovely... Oh, hang on. Can I have a minute, please?
30 seconds.
Apart from your own own Korean cooking, favorite Korean restaurants in Dubai?
Coming soon.
Oh, you tease! Oh, there you go. You've got a bit of a clue there from Chef Moon.
This is Farmer's Kitchen on Dubai Eye 103.8.
With Spinneys. Eat well, live well.
We're talking food as well as rants on the show this afternoon. Let me know, where are you going this weekend? What are your plans? This could be scoring you a 500 dirham voucher to spend at Spinneys. We have got viral sensation herself, Zara from Zed Blogs, live on the line. She creates content. How are you?
I'm
looking
good.
At Bargain Eats. I'm really well. We're here at Riverland. And, well, I have to say, every time I look at your Instagram, I'm like, oh, I need to go there. Oh, I need to eat that. you've got such an amazing following of people that follow you for, I think, a few really good reasons. One is just how accessible price point is of the food that you share. Also, you've really got your finger on the pulse of kind of those viral food moments. For anyone that doesn't follow you, how do you describe what you do and why?
Right, so if somebody doesn't follow me, I just say that I go and I try out new food at all the new places, and you know, I just kind of keep an eye open for what's viral, what's trending, and I just post it and share my opinion.
And a lot of people follow you for that opinion. Are you super creative with your videos as well? I have to say that some of the things have been really, really well received. Can we talk about some of the most recent posts that have really captured the imagination of your followers? And I'm talking specifically about some fruity ice creams. Why is Dubai going crazy for mango ice cream right now?
Right. So this ice cream actually went really popular in the United States, and it just recently came to Dubai. And, you know, somebody posted it and it blew up. So now everybody's running around and all the supermarkets are trying to, you know, push their name and get the ice cream selling. But it tastes great. So I think it's the taste and the look of it. It's very appealing. And also, I think it tastes really good if you like mangoes and peaches.
Because I think sometimes it can be this novelty factor of like, we're just trying to do something weird to get the attention of the internet, really. But you've got to back it up. Your video for that has got over 300,000 views, as has your one for the peach. So and what I like, it's 12 dirhams. So, okay, yeah. between the peach and the mango, what's worth our 12 dirhams?
I like the mango better just because as a fruit, I like mango better too. But the peach is really good as well.
As I said, your videos, some have reached 19 million views. You've got a Afrogado, which has got about 20 million. Does it sometimes surprise you what resonates with an audience? Can you ever predict which ones are going to go well and which ones sometimes
honestly,
you're like, I worked really hard on that and no one watched it?
Yeah, so it's so sudden and spontaneous. Something just blows up, and it's usually the videos I put the least effort on, and I'm just like, okay, I did not see that coming.
I wanted to ask you about how this got started, because a lot of people are aspiring content creators, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. What made you think that you had a voice and a perspective that would do well in the Dubai dining scene in particular?
If I'm quite honest, I didn't have a vision or a perspective. And I feel like that's kind of what made me, you know, a little successful in what I do. So when I started, it was just a hobby. I would just post pictures of food. And back in the day, there were no videos and all of that. So when the videos came, if I go and look at the videos I initially posted, they're poorly edited and all of that. And I would totally go and change that. But I just kind of kept going and kept doing what, you know, everybody else was doing, what was trending, creating videos of food. And I'm just, you know, I was just sharing my own opinion. And one day the views started getting good and I started gaining followers. So I was like, okay, this is kind of fun. And I kept on doing it. I kept on getting the push for it. And then, yeah, we're here.
I think for a lot of people, this idea of kind of content creation, and we know we have some amazing food writers on the show, but they often really specialize in fine dining and restaurants. You're like, well, you know, that's great, but you get to go there for free, or, you know, that's great, but that's, you know, a once a year type destination. What you do so well are these really affordable places, which I think, I mean, 12 dirham ice cream, for example. Last thing you posted was samosas for 5 dirhams. Where are those?
Yeah. Those are actually in Ajman. So I study in Ajman, so I'm kind of in that area all the time. And those samosas are something I always just, you know, go and pick up because they're super nearby. But they're really good.
Sadaf Cafe, Ajman, 5 dirhams for 15 pieces. Let's get on the road. Zero, we're going to keep you with us. I want to find out next about activities in Dubai, from escape rooms to go-karts, giving some ideas of what to do over Eid. I've had a going, what's the weirdest thing she's ever tried? Have a little think about that one for me. Do give Zblogs a follow so you can find out exactly what we're talking about today.
You're listening to Farmer's Kitchen on Dubai Eye 103.8.
With Spinneys. Eat well, live well.
Zara from Zblogs is with us today. She's a student, but she's also a content creator with hundreds of thousands of followers and tens upon tens of millions of views on her videos that go viral, looking at bargain eats around Dubai and beyond. I've had a message saying, I saw her video of cram caramel. Does she keep a plate in the car? Do you keep a plate in the car? And what's the cram caramel dessert, Zara? What's going on?
I got that question so often. So the trend of the cram caramel was, of, you know, people just drive up to the restaurant and then they're given a little plate with a pudding on it. So what I did was I took my favorite creme caramel from the supermarket and a little plate. I took it to the car and I just did it in my own little way. Yeah.
So with the creme caramel craze, where was it? Why are people going so crazy about it?
Okay, so I don't know. A lot of people growing up just really loved creme caramel. I'm not sure about everybody, but I think it was more of a Dubai thing. So this one place came out with the cutest presentation where you flip it up in the car and you have it. And then it kind of, you know, it got viral. Just things that go viral in Dubai, that's something you're going to realize. But so it just, people just really liked it. I think it had something to do with the taste as well as the nostalgia.
I was just about to say, it's all about making us feel like we're young again. Speaking of which, Eid's around the corner. You don't just talk about food. You've got some travel content and also activities. If we're going to have some fun over the long Eid break in the UAE, what should be on our list, do you think?
All right. So something that's new is a Mario Kart themed indoor battle karting experience, which I've been seeing all over my For You page. So there's this new one launching that hasn't kind of open yet, and it's really cool. So you can kind of just, you know how the Mario games are, you kind of experience that but indoor, and it's super cool. It's called Battle Kart on Instagram, and they have a link where you can book it and all of that. So that is an activity that should be on your list.
Battle
and if you're
kart.
Kind of escape room,
yes, really sign me up. Which one are we going to?
So there's this one called No Way Out. They have branches in City Walk and JLT. So they have a bunch of different themes. And I think that's super fun and, you know, something really cool to do with your friends or family, because everybody's kind of participating and, you know,
Here's my number one tip for escape rooms. Don't go as a couple. Unless they've got a resident divorce lawyer waiting in reception, I would just say it very, very, very rarely ends well. Yeah, because I'm like, you weren't listening to me. I tried to tell you that, Chloe.
How do you think it would go as a team bonding?
Really badly.
For Dubai Eye.
Really badly. We'd be off air by Monday morning.
Who would be the worst?
Who'd be the worst? I think, can we talk about that tonight? Roger Living do. That's going to be the hot conversation. Who would you not want on your team for Dubai Eye Escape Room?
Who? I want you to name him.
Who? I think Robbie would flap a bit. I think Brandy would be really decisive and she'd like get to the bottom of it. I think Robbie is incredibly bright, but I don't think we would communicate well.
I don't think he'd show up.
No.
No, he would.
Escape Room, no way out. Thank you, Zara. For anyone, as I said, that wants to find you on Instagram for your viral eats, your bargain eats, and of course so much more, what is the account we should be clicking on this Friday afternoon?
It's at zed.blogs.
And where are you going this weekend?
Where am I going this weekend? I am going to try out this new Asian place. It's not new, but I'm just going to try it out all over again. I've had their food, but I absolutely love it. It's called the Karma Cafe in downtown Dubai. It's amazing.
It's great views of the fountains. It's brilliant. Yes. Apparently, they do a really, really good value brunch as well. That's what I'm hearing on the streets. Have a wonderful time. I will, of course, catch up with you. And I'll see you online. See where you've been. Nothing's a secret anymore. Thank you so much for keeping it real, keeping us well fed. It is my pleasure. Zed.blogs. Bargain samosas, viral ice cream, and more.
You're listening to Farmer's Kitchen on Dubai Eye 103.8.
With Spinneys. Eat well, live well.
Wonderful to have you with us today. We love introducing you to the industry insiders, and that can take many different forms. We've spoken to chefs this afternoon, we've spoken to restaurateurs, and today joining us to take a little look behind the scenes of a luxury urban resort, we have got Lucas Tramiel as we talk about Habitat Polo Resort Dubai. It's a community hotel, so a little bit different to some of the properties that we've discussed on the show before. How are you, Lucas?
Fantastic, living the dream, especially just a few days away from
the dream. Well, this is what I was going to ask this, but I didn't want to make you feel bad, to be honest, because a lot of people listening today might be heading off, like our friend Chloe over the desk from me, heading off on the holidays. A lot of people planning, you know, short-term or long-term trips because they've got, I don't know, up to 9 days off. But you poor souls in hospitality, you guys are the ones who are working when we're having a lovely time. So are you going to get the chance to have a break?
No, unfortunately not. We're very, very lucky that we foresee very high occupancies over the next few days. So unfortunately, me and my family and my team will be taking off after the eat break when the occupancy is a little bit lower again. But it's a good problem to have.
It is. And thank you, I guess, to you and all F&B and hospitality people for always being there with a smile and making those birthdays and those celebrations and those stays so special for the rest of us. How did you get into hospitality? What's your origin story?
I've been in the hospitality actually all my life. So I started off young age. Actually, my first internship at 12 years old and then actually never left. Very, very quick 2 years experience in finance, but that wasn't for me. Other than that, always in operations, always in F&B, especially rooms, always in operations, always in hotels. And it's just, I think, the most typical and most boring hospitality story that you can tell. I've just done it all my life. I enjoy it. Yeah, but I enjoy it
but
till
I
now.
Think and it's a bit of a calling, though, you know, to be able to, you know, to have that passion for hospitality. And I wanted to ask you about, I guess, to your mind, the difference between service and hospitality. You know, I feel like it's a bit of an art, and it can feel like a bit of a lost art when it comes to the training of staff, and whether it is, you know, as you're talking about the op side and the room side through to the staff. What, to your mind, what is the gold standard, and what should we be looking for as diners and as guests?
From a training point of view, I think it's just consistency is the key word here. We have obviously our own training department, and then we have our departmental trainers, and it's just making sure the same trainings get rolled out on a very consistent basis to make sure really the messages from top to bottom, everyone gets the same message. And I think that's just key when it comes to training. And then Yeah, what we do is we're very, very lucky here at the Polar Resort because we're surrounded by three fantastic communities, and they just keep sharing input, they keep sharing feedback with us, and that allows us to adjust very quickly in terms of what do they want, what do we need to work on. And it's just that constant flow of feedback that we get from our neighbors in the community that we're surrounded with.
I guess the point of difference for many people, when we think about hotels, we think about, you know, staying in another country, staying, you know, a staycation. A lot of your demographic, as you say, is that community that's around you. And a lot of that is engaging with them through, you know, dinners and quizzes and live music. How do you kind of keep people coming back and build that loyalty to somewhere that is, you know, right on their doorstep?
So we've done really a lot of hard work and effort over the last, especially over the last 1 year, to connect with the community around us, and as I call them, our neighbors. And to be honest, as much as I would love to take credit for everything that we've done over the last year, it's really just the ideas of our neighbors. So we at the beginning of last year, we did a session with our neighbors and we asked them, what do you want to see? What do you want to do? And it's as simple as that, asking, getting feedback from our neighbors. And yeah, so some of our events, such as the very famous quiz that we have on in Horse and Hound every Thursday with your colleagues, Jonah and Rich from Dubai 92, is obviously a very famous one, or has become a very famous and popular go-to evening on Thursdays. But yeah, it's just getting that feedback from our neighbors constantly and asking them what they want to see, rather than pushing offers out and hoping to, yeah.
We were talking on the show earlier in this week about this idea of kind of feeling connected to where we live. And I think for a lot of people in Dubai, you know, getting into this idea of, you know, a neighborhood, a community, of feeling like you belong, of someone knowing your name and your face and, you know, maybe your drinks order and things like that. It sounds quite trivial, but it is the kind of thing that, this is why, you know, why members clubs do so well, of why, you know, having a local, you know, a regular spot can make the difference of someone's quality of life a lot of the time, and feeling like, do you know what? I feel like I should be here. And it's a big responsibility on the shoulders, I have to say. What have you got planned for Eid weekend? What's going to be happening there at the club and the resort?
Yeah, lots of stuff going on. So obviously our villas are always a top seller. So we've got the 4-bedroom villas with private pool. They're always a top seller for staycations here. But we have some really good deals as well on with our suite upgrade offer for the next couple of days, for the next 10 days. And then, yeah, for anyone who has no plans for the weekend, we got the final of the Dubai Polo Masters for everyone who's interested in polo. We got the Polo Masters final on this weekend. So lots of interesting stuff happening over the next couple of days here at the resort.
Well, have an absolutely brilliant time. As I said, all the best to you and the team for keeping things going, keeping everyone smiling over what is going to be a really, really lovely, lovely Eid break. The weather is tremendous. I feel like a lot of people are really, yeah, pleasantly surprised by how gorgeous the weather is right now. So it's going to be a great one. Lucas Jamal, thank you so much. Really appreciate your time today, especially on a Friday. I know how busy you guys are there at the Polo and Equestrian Club. Speaking to us from Habtour there, Lucas Jamal.
You're listening to Farmer's Kitchen on Dubai Eye 103.8.
With Spinneys. Eat well, live well.
Set up by Sisters. Actually, longer ago than I'd realised, we are talking food tours and more, frying pan adventures, and Arva joining us on the line now. So as I said, food tours since 2013. For anyone who's not familiar with frying pan adventures, with your eating and exploring concept, would you mind explaining a little bit about the origin story and what it's all about?
I'd love to do that, Helen. So Farida and I, my sister and I, we are the children of Indian immigrant parents who moved to the UAE in the 1970s, in 1976. And so our family has been here for a considerable amount of time. And this is why Farida and I feel so passionately about the old side of town where we still live. We live in literally the same building that we moved into in 1989. So we are all about showing people a very different side of the city than the typical glitzy, glamorous image that Dubai gets, you know, stereotyped for. We're all about celebrating the lesser-known alleys, the humble flavors, just the simple communities and their nostalgic stories that really resonate with us as people who've grown up here. And that's what we celebrate on the tours.
You celebrate, you educate, and I think, I mean, you've explained it so beautifully there, but one of my big frustrations as a kind of a long-time expat is that people often come here, and actually some people even move here, without going to what you know call old Dubai, without having eaten in some of these legendary places, or even some of the dishes that this part of the world is so, so well known for. And then they leave, and I'm like, I don't really feel like you've had the full experience, guys, and you're probably going to go away and say that, oh, you know, Dubai's got all the American brands, but we didn't see much else. And it's such a conscious decision to say, I want to have, you know, to have that curiosity, to be open-minded. And what you do is you make it easy. You know, you've been doing these food tours. How did you start doing the tours, though, Ava? Where did that begin?
Well, I was not from the tourism industry, nor from the food industry, very much traditional business background. I used to be a consultant in the US, moved back to work with my dad. So this was sort of almost left field for a lot of people who might have been watching from afar, but people who were close to me knew how passionate I was about food. I'd run a takeout food service out of my college dorm. I was very much about walking 3 hours to find something. I love this idea of walking and exploring cities. That was my way of accessing cities. And so when I moved back home to Dubai in 2010, I had started a food blog. And very quickly, I started to focus the blog on the older side of town, or not even just the older side, but for me, it was really about showcasing different cultures that weren't getting the limelight because everyone was talking about the latest opening of XYZ place in that hotel. And honestly, I'm sure the food is great, but you could be in any part of the city. It didn't have this stamp that it had to be on this corner of a Dubai street. And so that was my focus. And I remember I was on a business trip in Delhi one day, and I was in the bazaar, eating my way through the bazaar, as one does, as one should do when they're in Delhi, and I saw someone giving a food tour. And I think all the planets just aligned for me in that moment. The sparks went off and I looked at that person and I said, oh my God, that is exactly what I need to be doing in my life. And so I came back to Dubai and, you know, everything started moving from then.
It's been over a decade now since you started this idea of exploration through food. And you do it, we've now grown, which we're going to be talking about in terms of the number of tours. What was that first tour like? How did you put together the itinerary? And can you remember anything from it?
It was horrible.
I
will not lie. I'm all about testing out concepts, and thank God I do that. So we tested out our first tour even before we launched with some really good and very tolerant friends. And I remember I was so nervous. We were in my own backyard, literally the area that I've grown up in since 1989. And I was so nervous. I got lost, first off. And secondly, there were so many moments of silence. And I realized that I hadn't really curated the tour. It's not enough to just pick spots that you like and foods that you like. Mm-hmm. It has to be a performance at the end of the day. And that element was missing. Mm-hmm. It took me a long time to get my license. And during that time, I started to read a lot. I just went back to books and started to read about food history and food culture. And that's when the stories behind these dishes started to come out. And it was the natural thing that I needed, sort of the glue between all of the dishes and between the different stops, so we could create something that felt more thematically powerful.
Exactly, because obviously the food's nourishing, but you want to come away with these nuggets of information. You want to feel like you've had wisdom and, you know, insights imparted to you. So, you know, you can go back to wherever you're from in the world after a holiday in Dubai, after living here, and say, you know, we ate this. And, the guy that served it to us said that, you know, it's been in his journey. And that's what makes food come alive. I guess you never thought you'd end up on Netflix. That's what we're going to be talking about next. Frying Pan Adventures. If you're looking for something to watch over the weekend, Somebody Feed Phil, making you very proud to live in the UAE and some of the incredible places that we have to enjoy. Ava joining us from Frying Pan Adventures.
This is Farmer's Kitchen on Dubai Eye 103.8.
With Spinneys. Eat well, live well.
Ava from Frying Pan Adventures. They've been doing food tours, opening our eyes and our bellies to some of the most authentic eats in town since 2013. Set up with her sister. It has been an absolutely wonderful thing to see the popularity of this food tour company grow and grow. And then get the attention of Hollywood. Tell us, Ava, did you ever think you would be on Netflix? You're on the Dubai episode of Somebody Feed Phil. How on earth did it happen?
Honestly, I had not predicted that. And I didn't even know about the show. I hate to say it because I rarely ever watch screens in general. So 3 or 4 years ago, I had canceled my Netflix subscription. And when I received this email, which said, hey, we're from this show on Netflix called Somebody Feed Phil, and we're interested in seeing whether we can work together for our segment in Old Dubai, I looked at that and I was like, oh, that's interesting. Should I do this or should I not? And then, you know, just imagine, this is the thought, like, should I do this or should I not? And so I reached out to a friend of mine who runs food tours in Morocco, who I had found out was on the show. And I said, Amanda, do you think I should do this? Like, do you think it's a good use of time? And she just, I wish I could have seen her face, but her message kind of said it all. I can't even really exactly say what she had responded.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, exactly. Just, she's like, close your eyes and do it. And I'm so happy that she gave me that advice because I would never have anticipated how many people actually follow the show. I had people calling me up and saying, is he in town right now? Like, I really have to meet him. I go to every city that he goes to. I eat in exactly the places he does. Like, people follow him like hounds. It's incredible. I just totally underestimated that.
What was so wonderful to see it was obviously Phil's a foodie, and sharing the enthusiasm. And, you know, it was an absolutely, you know, perfect match. For anyone that hasn't seen the Dubai episode of Somebody Feed Phil, tell us a little bit about where you took him and what you ate.
Sure. So we featured Al Ras, which is one of the neighborhoods in Old Dubai. It's in Deira. It's where you have the spice souk. And that was the piece that we covered with him. It's also the part that we feature on our Dubai Souks and Creekside walking food tour. So I'm very, very familiar with that neighborhood, and especially because it's got the souks. It tends to be really touristy. People come there and they run away. They're like, oh my God, it just feels so touristy. But our goal is to show you one of the most touristy parts of the city in the least touristy way possible. And so we will take you to explore places and foods and alleys that normally most tourists would not walk down. And so with Phil, we featured different kinds of little bakeries and also a camel milk chocolate shop. So, like, very quickly, we did a South Iranian bread, which I think a lot of people here are familiar with, which is called rigag. Mm-hmm. And we did it with the mehiawa, which is the anchovy sauce, with chips arman, of course, which is a staple, should be a staple in every local's pantry, and cream cheese. So we did that along with a steaming hot, extremely sweet cup of karak chai, if I remember very well. So we had that. We went into my favorite Afghani bakery. This bakery we actually feature on our regular tours. Mm-hmm. It is honestly one of my top spots for getting a za'atar and cheese bread, as well as their honey cheese bread is really delicious. But with Phil, we did za'atar and cheese, and we pulled out some falcon sauce, which is the excellent, like, it's like a Cajun style vinegary sauce. It's made in the US, but I think the entire shipment comes to this part of the world.
So there you go, some foodie recommendations and some viewing recommendations too. So it started with one tour. How many tours do you have now, Ava?
Sure. So right now we're actually running about only two signature tours, which are our Middle Eastern and our Dubai Souks. Those are our two main ones. And then we have a lot of things that we offer on a private basis. So if people want to experience Little India, they can sign up for that with their friends. The private group, we also have a tour that we do in the waterfront market with my mom. So Farida and my mom do that together. And again, that's offered on a private basis, as well as our international noodle tour. Yeah.
It's a family affair. You've got scavenger hunts, you've got it all. I know a lot of people do have guests in town over Eid, but whether it is, you know, booking something privately or indeed meeting people, eating with people, it's just such a wonderful addition to the Dubai food scene. You should be so, so proud of yourselves. Honestly, it's been lovely to watch it, as I said, unfold. What's the best way of getting in touch with you, finding more about the tours, and connecting with you?
our website, which is franklandadventures.com. It has all of our upcoming tours. And then also on Instagram, I respond to people personally. So people get in touch with us for, you know, both tours as well as recommendations. I love to hear from people.
Amazing. Thank you so, so much. Have a lovely, lovely Eid break. I'm sure you'll still be working. And if anyone wants to send me the word food to 4001, I will send you details for Frying Pan Adventures. Oh, all the best to you, your mum, your sister, the whole family and all of that Dubai community that you're such an important part of.
You're listening to Farmer's Kitchen on Dubai Eye 103.8.
With Spinneys. Eat well, live well.
Not one, but two guests with me today from Salmantini Group. We've got the founder and CEO, Husneen. We've also got Chef John, who's a corporate culinary director. And I don't really know where to start with you. I'm going to start with you, Husneen, because Salmantini started back in 2001 in Lebanon and then 2005. My kind of thing is, if it was here when I moved here in 2007, it's always been here. Tell us about the origin story about Salmantini and what it looked like back in 2005 Dubai.
Thank you, Ellen. Yeah, 2005 definitely was a very strange period for us. I was just leaving Lebanon looking for the next move for the brand. And there was not much around. I was standing in Barsha and looking at this construction site, you know, and
what was about to become
exactly a ski slope here. And you know, so it was very intriguing. And we didn't know exactly what was going to happen. And when I look at it back from now, I realized that, you know, it was actually the right choice to make. And Dubai has been moving so fast, mm-hmm. especially the last period. But yeah, to be able to have been so consistent with the brand, the quality, the service for all those years.
Well, I was about to ask you for the secret sauce, you know, that kind of what manages to have that longevity. And you've just said it there, that consistency of building loyalty. And we're going to bring Chef John to talk about innovation and tradition and authenticity. But for you, how did you... first of all, how did you identify what Dubai needed when you were new to the market?
Before what Dubai needed, I always wanted to stick to my own values. How do I see hospitality and hospitality service? Because for me, hospitality and the loyalty that we've been able to gain was all around the human connections, mm-hmm. whether with the staff, with the guests. For me, hospitality, it's a feeling. Okay, it's something that if you want to share a feeling or a memory or an emotion with someone, in our industry, the plate, the dishes, these are the tools that we use. But at the end of the day, we want our guests to feel that connection with the brand, with the staff and everything that we do.
Let's unpack that a little bit about the staff, because we're going to talk about the amazing food, which, you know, you'd hope for many restaurants in Dubai is a bit of a given. You know, yeah, we've got high standards here. Where things can fall down is that it's that last piece. Mm. It is the staff training sometimes. It's someone not knowing about where an ingredient is from. It's not knowing what dish might complement another, or you know, the provenance of something, which I think a lot of people are caring more and more about. You have the best meal in the world, but if someone puts it in front of you with a grimace, or they hate their job, or just this atmosphere, it can ruin the whole evening. You can walk away feeling like you've been ripped off, even if the food's been fantastic.
Totally agree with you. I can start by giving you a small example. I have some staff that has been with us for 15 years.
Wow.
Some actually chefs and people on the floor who've been actually opening the location in Barsha in 2005 and who are still here. So my responsibility has always been to create the perfect environment, mm-hmm. for them to feel comfortable and for them to thrive and to grow and to be able to enjoy the same feeling that they have to transfer to the guests.
Yeah, to impart.
You know? Exactly.
And as I said, we do take good food for granted, but not great food, which is where Chef John comes in. You've been in the UAE for coming up to a decade, but relatively new to Salmantini Group. That's a bit of a pressure piece to come in to a brand that's been so well-loved, has been here for two decades. What kind of brief are you given, and how do you, I guess, put your own stamp on something that's already so successful?
Right. Well, with Salmantini, it's really been about just continuing the legacy. It's really great quality ingredients and bringing innovation into the program. And that's just what I've been trying to do. And so with Bistro, it's just creativity and just sourcing the best possible products that we can.
So Bistro opened in DIFC and is going into Abu Dhabi, I believe. Congratulations are in order.
Thank you very much.
Going multi-emirate. When it comes to creating, I guess, a sibling brand, you know, you really don't want to, you know, rip off the ideas of the original, but you also want to stay true to the DNA of a group. Tell us a little bit about the specific DNA of both of those brands, if you don't mind, and I guess what we can expect from the menus as well.
Yeah, the idea of the bistro was, and that's the direction we were discussing with Sean, working on the menu. Definitely something to be accessible, and it was all around the DNA of the concept, which was how can we get even closer to the guests. You know, the bistro for us, it's your neighborhood place. What are you expecting from a place where you will feel at home? We want them to feel the belonging with the brand and the belonging with the food that we serve and the mm-hmm. service that we give them. So it was very important for us that the menu with the bistro Frenchy touch sticks to the identity of Salmontini. You know, we have some amazing sushi, we're seafood, and we have a lot of specialities. And we're even, John was starting to reintroduce old cooking techniques, you know, like the papillote and these kind of things that we want people to get back to.
I mean, the
old memories.
You know, that moment of the opening and the
exactly.
smell. And
these are things that unfortunately are been
a bit lost along the way.
Yeah, exactly. So that's where we want to go back with this concept.
We're going to be exploring the menu further, making you very hungry in just a few minutes. Joining us from the Salmontini Group, we've got Husni there just speaking to us, the founder and CEO, and Chef John, the corporate culinary director.
This is Farmer's Kitchen on Dubai Eye 103.8.
With Spinneys. Eat well, live well.
Joining us from the Salmontini Group today, we have got the founder and CEO, Husni Ajlani. We've also got Chef John Kaborak. He is the corporate culinary director. I want to know if I'm coming to either of your two brands this weekend, Chef, what are your favorite dishes? Can you give me maybe a top three rundown?
Sure. If you're coming to Resto, I would have the salmon riet. I know that it's Husni's favorite.
Thank you.
You still
and
have
then if
job.
You're coming to Bistro, I would have the Salmontini Benedict. So Ooh. It's one of the new creations. So it's three poached eggs, and each one has a different type of salmon. So one has a light smoked, one is a smoked salmon, and then one is a light wood smoked salmon. And then it has a mustard hollandaise sauce and cream spinach.
That sounds divine.
So it has definitely become a signature.
Everyone loves a breakfast in Dubai, and I feel like you guys, you know, lead into that very early. Can I ask you just briefly, and I know you're international now, there's franchising opportunities. I mean, the sourcing conversation has changed an awful lot the last couple of decades. We're talking about three different types of smoked salmon. Can you believe how far Dubai's come in these last few decades?
No, it's hard. It's hard to realize. It has definitely evolved the availabilities of ingredients and all those varieties of origins and whether it's from seafood or even meat or wagyus mm-hmm. and everything. It's just been overwhelming. But this is another push for us to push our creativity even further.
Absolutely.
You know, the more products available, the more creative you need to become.
So what's next?
What's next? If everything goes well, and hopefully it will. We should be opening in Saudi Arabia before
Mabruk.
The end of the year. And I'm working really hard now on franchising the concept. I had previous experience with franchising, so I think now we are solid enough. I have an amazing team around me to support me in this project. And I feel ready to take over the
the world.
You said it.
I wanted to ask you lastly, as someone who has been such an important part of the Dubai foodie scene, and I think, as you say, kind of pushing forward in terms of sourcing, community and brand and consistency, what advice would you have someone who wants to get in? If you've any, you know, aspiring foodie entrepreneurs listening today, because it's a tough market.
It's an extremely tough market, an extremely competitive market. I've been in Abu Dhabi now working on the opening for more than 4 or 5 weeks now permanently. And I think that moving to other cities like Abu Dhabi are definitely the right move than instead of jumping right in the middle of the pit in Dubai. So
because you know, we see record numbers of, you know, business licenses being granted. My husband always jokes you can, you know, drive around and be like, something coming soon, and you're going, closing soon after.
Exactly.
So it takes something really impressive.
There's
to,
a very high turnover
to last the distance. Well, congratulations, Chef John, from Salmontini. really appreciate
Thank you so much for having us.
Now really am craving breakfast. So your work here is done, Chef. Thank you so
much.
Thank you
very much.
Have
Thank
a lovely, you. Lovely Eid break. Thanks for being with us on this episode of Farmer's Kitchen. You can tune in live every single Friday afternoon between 2 and 5 on Dubai Eye 103.8.